The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
We're talking tomorrow about the price of gold, the high price of gold and other precious minerals, and how that is affecting things around here as well. But gold, every time she got on a bull, if it was 8 seconds long, sometimes 7.5 seconds is even gold too, huh, Johnny?
Oh, yeah. Yep, sometimes.
Johnny Junkowski is with us, Cowgirl Hall of Fame, 1991, former bull riding champion, and it was women's bull riding champion. Was it 86 or
86 and 88?
86 yep. and 88. And there's a documentary now being told or being filmed to be released probably in the fall. Still some fundraising to do. I'll get on that. Two producers, co-producers for this show. Scott Sterling is with us here as well, director of productions for Montana PBS. And then co-producer and director of the show is Sabrina Lee. She's an independent filmmaker as well. For information, it's Johnny, JONNIE-film.org for more on that, too. We'll kind of get into that. I've teased this, and I've got to get to it, or I'll forget to talk about it. But early on, you're an athlete.
Right.
And you wanted to actually go to the Olympics.
Yeah. Everything I wanted to do was to go to the Olympics. Actually, I went right to school here in Billings Central, and I was basically I was fortunate. I mean, I put in the time, but I was a gifted athlete anyway. And I was a standout athlete my senior year. I had entered everything and nearly won everything in divisional, so I qualified in like 6 events for state. I had all these visions of going to UCLA, you know, Stanford, wherever, on a nice scholarship. And turns out that my coach wasn't aware, but I actually qualified for too many events. And at that time, there were so many field events, so many running events, throwing events, jumping events that you could be allowed to compete in. The bottom line is the other teams, the other schools waited. They knew that this was an infraction, but my coach did not. So they waited until I qualified in all of the things the day before. And then that Sunday of the finals, they basically said, look, Junkowski's qualified in too many events. And I got a phone call at 7 o'clock in the morning from my coach. Then later my mom came into the room and she said, honey, you're not running today. They disqualified you, and this is your senior year of everything. I mean, I was devastated. I can't even tell you what it was like. I mean, I had all these visions. My coaches were going to be there. My dad was a traveling salesman at the time. He was rarely ever there. He was going to be there. You know, a lot of people were going to be there. Heartbreaking, to say the least.
You're a teenager at the time, too.
Teenager. So, yeah. You're 17 years old, and you just think, this is all it is. I'm going to be a career athlete. Pentathlon, I high jump, long jump, shot put, javelin, 100 meters were the events. And obviously I didn't get scholarships because I wasn't running. Everything kind of fell through, and literally I went to Eastern for a year and whatever. And then I finally came back and said, Mom, I got to go run. I got to satisfy this. It's just burning in me. I can't just throw this away. And Flathead Valley, Kalispell offered me a scholarship and said, you know, we'll put you back on the team if you want to come. You know, we'd be happy to have you. So I ran for Flathead Valley, which was incredible. I mean, they held their own up against
UCLA. At that time, you bet.
Yeah. I mean, we could never win a meet because we didn't have the depth, but we could win, you know, individual events.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we had great coaches, great staff. They took the top 12 of us probably literally all over the country. And so I got to compete with everybody like I was before. And the bottom line is we qualified, went to Denton, Texas for the Nationals, hoping for to qualify for the Olympics in 76. And in a hurdle event, you know, I clipped a hurdle and about the third one out and catapulted me to the track. And the injury was substantial, really severe. And I still had enough points to qualify for the trials. But obviously, I was physically unable to run, so they gave it to the third place girl. And I can't even tell you the burning in that deal either. After training again and reprogramming your brain, you know, this is where I'm going to go. And during the healing process, really had no clue. I mean, honestly, I really had no clue. Ultimately, I saw a poster with my mom having lunch it advertised a rodeo, and I'm thinking, oh, well, the Greenos used to do this. That was deep-seated in the back of my brain from 14. How hard can this be? Other people do this. I mean, I grabbed the poster, sat in front of my mom, and I said, and it was in 2 weeks. I had never seen a rodeo at that point.
And this is after, like, a couple of years recovery,
it was,
right?
It was about 16 or 17 months.
Okay.
And, yeah. And, you know, and I'm starting to run and jump and do things again, and a little bit of, you know, bodybuilding, a little bit of, you know, triathlon stuff, anything to get competitive, but nothing was satisfying me. And I thought, well, what the heck, I'll just try this for a weekend. Literally went to the 17 bar, talked a cowboy into loaning me his stuff. And literally, you know, he was a truck driver. I don't know if he ever used it either. And it was a Red Lodge. It was my first one. And it was a horse then.
Was that your first bull?
First horse.
Your first horse, okay.
And I got my picture taken riding one, and I actually held on to him. And I borrowed purple shats with green clovers, and I had a cowboy hat stuffed full of paper. I didn't even own a cowboy hat at the time. And, you know, but I really enjoyed the attention. A lot of people came down and goes, oh, my God, you're one of them rough stock riders down there, whatever. Well, I still just – it wasn't in my brain yet. It wasn't seated. I went home. Probably 2-3 weeks later, I got some calls from the gals that were there and said, you know, you should try riding bulls. I think you'd do better. I actually, in hindsight, I think they just were going to have some more entry fees in the pot to make more money. And
right.
We got a sucker here, yeah, boys, you, yeah, know, for a little while. Anyway.
Yeah, I got a newbie over here. Let's see what he – yeah.
Exactly. And then my first bull was actually out here. If anybody who's from Billings remembers the old hayloft, and Dale Small had it, and Lloyd Ketchum, and they ran the little rodeo out there at the bar, and got on a bull. His name was Man Mountain, and he literally was the biggest bull in the pen. Again, I borrowed a rope from another cowboy in a bar and spurs, and he turned out to be the brother of a girlfriend of mine. And, I mean, I got on this bull, pulled the rope, whatever. I mean, I am so naive. I'm not kidding you. I did not even know to nod my head that I just was thinking the gate was going to fly open at any moment, and I better be ready. That's how naive I was. Well, the first one lasted 4 seconds, and that one turned my crank. Honest to heaven, it was a whole different deal from the Bronx. And then I started going down the road with the girls and following the GRA circuit and getting to know that habit a little bit. And literally only just to kill time then till I figured out what I was going to do with the rest of my life. I'm, you know, I'm 22 years old now. So, I mean, I thought my world was over and I didn't have a clue where I was going to go. And obviously then it just, the girls were riding all two hands then. I started one-handed. That's the only way the guys would let me go. They started coaching me and getting me going. And I went down the road one-handed. They were going too. And obviously, they couldn't coach me anymore, so then I started riding with the guys, and the guys were coaching me more, and so it kind of transitioned to half riding with the guys, half riding with the girls. Obviously, wasn't making a lot of money riding against the guys, and or the girls weren't making any money either, but the girls was a circuit where you could win world titles. The guys was just a circuit where we could go and practice and ride, so you know, went down the road like that, and, you know, I thought I'd win my first world title, and, you know, a year.
Right.
It took 10. Hello. But I didn't factor in, you know, I might break 13 ribs along the way, or an ankle or a leg or a wrist or whatever. But then finally I found a school that took me. So that got me better.
Did you now, Johnny Jankowski again. And there's a story, and it's kind of told in this Sports Illustrated story as well, about getting into the school.
Yeah.
And then that winning ride, you actually won the school competition. But that bull made you pay for it.
Oh, yeah. That was, you know, it was really hard to get into a school. Back then, you used to get all the Horse and Rider magazines and the Western Horsemen. In the back, there was classifieds. And during November, that's when all of the guys take the break before the December, you know, world finals. So most of the world championships are out. Guys are trying to make money putting on schools. And I probably made, I don't know, 10, 15 phone calls to schools and entered for, you know, Johnny Jankowski, me, and they go, is it for you? And I would go, well, yeah. And, well, we don't take girls. We won't take girls. And everybody said we won't take girls. Finally, I just plain entered for Johnny, thinking it was probably my boyfriend or whatever. And they said, sure, you know, when can Johnny be here? And this is the school, and this is the rules, and this is whatever. And so I showed up. It was in Fountain, Colorado, and it was Bobby Berger at the time, Chris Ledoux, Bruce Ford, all those great guys.
Yeah.
And it was 105 guys and me. And I remember lining up along the fence line. All of us had our gear and our bull ropes out, and they walked along the line. Of course, there's my long blonde hair and under the hat, and it was like, wow. Well, the school was just short of 3 weeks long, and the attrition rate was pretty high. A lot of the guys weren't in great shape, and we'd get on, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 bulls a day, and then you'd get critiqued and videoed and whatever. It dwindled down, and the final day of the school, they took the top 10, and the top 10 rode off for the school buckle. And I had been watching this particular bull. His name was Spotted Dog. He was ginormous. He barely fit in the chutes. He was so huge, so tall. He must have been 6.5 feet tall at the withers. And long horns. He couldn't even keep his head straight in there. The horns were so long. He literally looked like the old movie yaks pulling the carts. He was just awkward, and every way he bucked was awkward. There was no rhythm. Nobody had ridden him in the school in, I don't know, almost 3 weeks. Wow. I watched him go out 12, 15 times. Nobody even lasted 3-4 seconds on him. Just such long-bodied, long lunges. And I thought, I can ride anything in this pen, but maybe that one. And that's who I drew, of course. And you know, Bobby Berger and Chris Ledoux, they came right up and said, Johnny, you're the only one that can ride this guy. And I was, wow. And that obviously instilled a little confidence in me. And I did. We nodded my head and rode the bull out. And, man, I heard that horn and that elation. I was so excited and went to pull the tail of my rope. And right then, you know, Spotted Dog stumbled. He hooked a horn, flipped himself. And we were both down. And I looked up, and he was getting up. And I saw that hoof come at my face. And I went, wow, he's going to kick me. And my head snapped back so hard it almost knocked me over. And then it pulled away, and I felt nothing, and I thought he missed me. Well, he didn't. Next thing I know is, you know, Chris Ledoux goes, geez, her nose is torn off. Not exactly what you want to hear in your lifetime. So,
and then he said, but you won.
Yeah, but he said that was the greatest ride he had ever seen, and he said, you know, you took the school hands down, and all of the instructors said the same thing, but obviously I didn't take home the school buckle. They didn't think that was going to be good to have a accredited school be won by a gal. So
I'm glad you told that story, because it's really cool. And and Sabrina and Scott, you guys stand by, okay? Because I got to take a break, and we'll come back, and then you get to tell us about telling the story of Johnny Jankowski here. And because there's more to that as well. Even the ambulance couldn't get you to the hospital.
No.
Not even the backup ambulance could get her to the hospital on that one, too. Much more to come here as we tell the story of Johnny today from Montana for Montana Voices of Montana.
Help DEA keep our community safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, April 27th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe. Clean them out. Take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
Over the past 30 years, Montana has consistently ranked in the nation's top 5 states for suicides. This is not a statistic to be proud of. Many factors contribute to this, like social isolation, increased access to firearms, and alcohol use as a coping mechanism. The Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services is making it easier for anyone to get help through the new crisis call or text line 988. Let's give Montana a better statistic to be known by. If you or someone you know needs help, dial 988.
My Beef Checkoff Dollar funds websites like ChuckKnowsBeef.com.
For my Beef Checkoff Dollar, I get beef into Montana classrooms and teach children how to cook.
For my Beef Checkoff Dollar, I get beef promotion around the world.
My Checkoff Dollar pays for farm fairs and for education and places where young people can learn about the benefits of raising beef in Montana and the nutritional value.
Brought to you by Montana Beef Producers and Checkoff Dollars.
It's morning in the not-too-distant future. Your alarm goes off and your automated mattress lifts you out of bed. Your automated shower is all ready to go at the right temperature. Your automated kitchen makes you bacon and eggs sunny side up. Then you remember you need to call your health plan. You hit the call button on your phone and you're greeted by... A real person? Not an automated phone tree? At Pacific Source Health Plans, we know technology is important, but it can't replace human service. Visit PacificSourceMembersFirst.com to learn more.
Hey, Colder, have you tried that place in Bozeman, the Sapphire Motel? There this week. Friendly front staff, parking right in front of my room, modern amenities, and budget-friendly with that ag rate.
Ag rate?
Yeah, the ag rate at the Sapphire Motel, a discounted rate for ag folks attending conferences, 4-H, or other events in Bozeman, close to I-90, downtown, and Montana State.
Go Cats, and a go on that ag rate.
The Sapphire Motel, down-home comfort and a classic motor inn, 310 North 7th in Bozeman.
Like I mentioned, tomorrow we'll be talking the high price of gold and precious metals. Scott Bollinger will be alongside from Grizzly Gold and Silver, and then Mike Bondra as well. He's a certified financial planner. We'll talk about the markets. That's on tomorrow. We got to catch up here as much as we can. Johnny Jankowski in studio, Montana Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame, 1991 National Cowgirl Museum, and Hall of Famer as well, and a former bull riding champion. Sabrina Lee is with us. She's the director and co-producer of Johnny, the documentary that's set to come out shortly. And Scott Sterling is with Montana PBS, director of productions, and also co-producer on this one. Hey, Scott, as much as we could just sit here and listen to Johnny tell stories, which is a big thing of what you guys have done here, too. Talk about telling the story of Johnny and fill us in on some of these details we might be missing.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an incredible Johnny herself is an incredible storyteller, which makes our job really, really fun. You know, Sabrina, Johnny was mentioning, you know, some of these rides and stuff that we may not have footage of. One of the things we're going to do is hire an animator to kind of sketch and animate some of these stories that we don't have footage of. We have a lot of amazing archive footage that Johnny was able to provide for us that really, you know, helps tell that story. Our biggest thing right now is we need to fundraise to be able to, you know, pay licensing fees for this archive footage, pay this animator. You know, films like this are entirely funded by donations. You know, we don't rely on tax dollars or station operation funding, anything like that. So we're in the midst of a Kickstarter campaign right now to try to get across the finish line so we can get this film finished. You can check out the trailer at that website you mentioned, johnny-film.org, to really kind of get people excited about that. So
super. Sabrina, any final comments? Sabrina?
No, I just echo everything that Scott is saying, that this film has, you know, working with Johnny has been just such a fantastic experience. I'm really excited to bring this story to Montana PBS audiences. And I would love for people to go visit the Kickstarter page, because there's also other information, background information about the film. You can learn about the rest of the cast and crew. And that's at johnny-film.org. And Johnny is J-O-N-N-I-E, in case that wasn't clear. But yeah, we're super excited about this. This is about as much fun as you can have making a film, I think.
I bet
thank
it
you,
is.
Johnny,
yeah,
for that.
It's been good.
Johnny, thank you. Let me get this out as well one more time. AngelHorsesMT.org as well.
Yep.
Johnny, I look forward to chatting with you again.
Love it. That'd be great.
All right. Hey, guys, thanks a lot for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.